sermon title this morning is A Place Where Few People Go in Time of Need. A Place Where Few People Go. You may be thinking of the scripture that Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few people find it." So we have that straight gate and narrow way that is laid out, and it says it's the best way, but few people find it, discover, because it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. And people look at a Christian's life and wonder why they would make changes like that, and why would you ever die to yourself, and why would you ever surrender all and place your trust and your life in and under the Lordship of Christ. It doesn't make sense, and that's why few people will find that road. And what I'm going to share this morning is something different, the throne of grace. We're going to be looking at the throne of grace. And you might find this as a challenge, and it's a challenge to myself. Few people go to the throne of grace. And it's a challenge. And let's just be honest. And I'm going to be honest. There's many times that I try other ways and try to figure this out myself. And by nature, we're struggling, Brent, to find this place that we're invited to go. Brent led the song, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross." And so I want you to picture Jesus on the cross, dying on the cross. And I want you to picture yourself this morning struggling to climb Calvary's mountain, struggling to get there, struggling to stay near. Even if you're a Christian, keep me near the cross. And we're talking about a close relationship with the Lord where we are near and we find this precious healing in this fountain. And then the honesty is how many times we do not let everything right there. So you picture yourself climbing and struggling to get there and then stay there. Years ago, two of our children were Riley and Kelly. When they were young, I don't know how old they were, but they were trapped one evening in the chicken house. I'm not sure. This goes way back in time, but I remember and used this illustration, so forgive me if you start to hear some of these illustrations the second and third time. My wife reminds me that I do bring some of these illustrations up, and I hear that different times with other speakers as well. I heard that one for the third time. But I used this before to illustrate these young children, but they were trapped, and it was getting dark, and they were feeling alone, and they were feeling afraid, and they were crying, and they were screaming, and I don't know how long it went until finally I found them, and I rescued them, and I remember asking them, "Did you think to pray?" "No, I forgot." And this is young children, and we're going to be very gracious to young children, because they cry out in ways that was huge to them at that age. But I want to, all of us together, think of times when we are faced with other things that impact us in the same way, and do we think the first thing to pray? And the place where few people go, that's why I use the title. The few people find this place, and few people in relation to all Christendom and all the world, few people are Christians. And then even we as Christians, many times, if we're honest, we can go to Google and we can go here and we can go there and we can try to figure things out, that we forget to go to the throne of grace and really just rely on the Lord. 23 years ago, I think I have that right. In September 9/11, the Twin Towers came down, and I'm guessing all of you remember, most of you remember where you were that day and that event. And one of the most difficult experiences, the people that found themselves trapped and knowing that the towers are coming down, and just suddenly one day it came out of nowhere and there they were. And I cannot imagine being in a situation like that, but the towers came down and many were killed. And it did, for a while, bring people to their knees. And I remember that experience. We canceled, if I remember right, a district minister's meeting over that time, and maybe possibly that evening. I forget, but because people were feeling the need to pray, it was really tragic, and it did work for a while. As you think about America, for a while, people went to church and were crying out to God, and it worked for a little time. I would say a tragedy of that nature did bring people to their knees. But what we're talking about here this morning in the sermon, the invitation, the great invitation, is to live our lives there, not just for a little season when we get in trouble, but to live your life there and to experience this as a lifestyle, and to really find God's power and strength and provisions for us in time of need. I want everyone to know and experience and to live your life in this experience. That's why Satan is not a creator but a counterfeiter. Satan is one who offers a lot of idolatry in a lot of different ways. And the thought today is there's many ways to God, and it's a lie. It's from the devil. There is only one way to God. There is only one mediator and one God, Jesus Christ, one Savior. And there's only one path, and there's only one throne of grace, and there's only one way to find it. There is one way. We need to send that message into the world. And that was what the Jewish minds in their day, they lived amongst nations which believed in many gods. And so to the Jewish people, when they were called and set apart, they said, there is only one God. There's one God amongst many nations who believe there's many gods and there's many ways. They were ones who said there's one God. And we are also need to send that message to the world today that there is one way and there's one Savior and there's one throne of grace and there's one way. There's one God. And all people have this choice to accept Jesus Christ. It's not that we have the option to choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He was crucified, buried, and rose again. But we have the choice. We can choose whichever way we want. No, that's Satan. And that's the thought we're up against, the mindset and the worldview of many today, is there's many paths to the same God, but there's one God. And so Satan is a counterfeiter. Everything that God creates, Satan brings a counterfeit through many ways. And we need to expose Satan as the counterfeiter and shine the light on the true God and the way that people can find help in time of need. Suicide rates are high because people do not know where to turn to. And the level of pain and the level of trauma that people live with. One person told me, if you would understand the squirrels in my head. And I said, you actually have squirrels up in your head? What he was really telling me is all the trauma and all that goes on in my head. If you would understand that, he has to drink it away. Because he doesn't know how to get rid of the squirrels in his head. And all the lies and all the... Someone told me, just this week, that if you would understand what goes on in my mind and the way I deal with this, I have a cross around my neck and I have the ashes of my mother, and she's telling me how she deals with all of this that's going on in her head, and I'm burdened because she's blinded to this way. She has, if I could only open up the way, and if I could only explain the place where few people go and how to get there and how we must come to Jesus Christ by faith. We had Dawson and I had an amazing experience disc golfing last week. You know, I share the story sometimes of a croquet game in the backyard here and how that led to a man walking down the street, and I got to preach at his funeral and he gave his heart to the Lord. It's just a little croquet game. Sometimes we want to just get all into the game and make sure we get to be a stinger and win the game, but there's a man walking down the street and we stopped the game a little bit. I think it was Spencer that talked to him, and it developed into a relationship. But we need to take time. We had an experience disc golfing where we were on hole 17. There's a man sitting on the bench. And we stopped and we started to talk to him. And yeah, he opened right up, and he's a seeker. And I met with him this week at Dunkin' Donuts. We had a follow-up meeting. And he, yes, is just so interested in drawing close to the Lord. He is a Christian and just wanting to surround himself and help overcome some of the things. But he's asking about our church and what we believe and our practices. And I said, we need to start. And we walked together in a Dunkin' Donuts. We walked. It was so powerful. We walked Calvary's Mountain together by faith. And then I told him, do you picture yourself struggling to climb up there to get close to the cross and experience it? And then I want you to picture yourself reaching the cross and kneeling down. And I want you to now look up and let your eyes meet the eyes of Jesus. And he's feeling the whole story. This is happening in a Dunkin' Donuts. That's so powerful. You know, it can happen anywhere. It's not a place that this is designated to. And then I said, I want you to picture the Lord's hand reached out, and can you picture and see Jesus? And I held it there until he took my hand. And then I want you to look up, and I want you to see his eyes of love, and I want you to picture the cross that's bloody and all the blood of Jesus. And while you're kneeling there, I want you now to picture one drop of blood coming down into your own innermost being and just setting you free and just giving you the power and the cleansing. And he's just feeling the story. And it was just a God moment. And yes, there's so many people that need some help to find this place, this throne of grace, which we're going to look at this morning. A lot of people live with a lot of trauma and a lot of pain, a lot of difficulty, and we ourselves are struggling many times in our lives, and we need this so desperately. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. It's where we have this great invitation, this place where few people go, and I want to just open this up this morning. Verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 14 starts out with seeing then that we have a great high priest. And I would like to just do a little background into the Old Testament. And that's why It's so important that we're grounded in the Old Testament to understand the priesthood and to understand God's provision for the Old Testament. During the Old Covenant, the priests served in the temple. But starting from creation to the fall, and then the sacrificial system was set up. In the book of Exodus, we have the great story of Israel coming out of Egypt, and then Mount Sinai and the law, the giving of the law, and then the tabernacle. So the Exodus was the deliverance out and deliverance from the plagues and the hand of Pharaoh, the type of the devil. They came out, and God said after they came out that I want you to always remember and always keep this Passover throughout all of your generations, and remember, I am God, and I am the one who brought you out with a mighty hand. I want you to always remember, I'm the one, I'm God, amongst all the other false gods. And then the giving of the law, and then the tabernacle where God came right into the midst of their assembly, and the tabernacle and the temple was laid out in a way that in the center, the Holy of Holies was right in the center of the whole tabernacle. That's where God was. And I want you to picture this morning in the very center of your heart, and the very deep inside of your heart is where God dwells, and He wants to live there and work in and through your life. But the Old Testament priesthood, the priests were set apart to serve in the temple. They did not receive an inheritance of the land, but they were given oversight of all the duties in the temple and tabernacle. So every day the priests were serving in the temple, and you can do a deep study on the tabernacle. I'd love to do that sometime. It's on my to-do list, but just hasn't worked up to the top yet. But the way God worked through that time, the tabernacle and the priesthood, pointing forward to the New Testament and the New Covenant, where Jesus is pictured here as the great high priest. He came and fulfilled the priesthood, and now we are all have access to God, but the priesthood is very important, and the tabernacle, how God dwelt with His people. And now, today, you get into the New Testament, we are the temple of God. God dwells within us. And Revelation 21, it says the tabernacle of God is with men. God is with us. You see the tabernacle, and Jesus Christ and God dwelling with His people, the center. The temple at the time of Jesus' crucifixion, there was a veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. There was a veil. And when Jesus was crucified, there's a very important event that happened during and at Jesus' crucifixion. It says that the veil in the temple was rent or torn from the top to the bottom. The dimensions and size of that veil and how God did that, it was very clear that it tore from the top to the bottom. I don't remember offhand the size and how high it was, but it was no man that went in there and ripped that open. It was God Himself saying that this is the fulfillment of the priesthood, and now we all, it's no longer the high priest who has access into the Holy of Holies, but all of us now have access into the Holy of Holies. The high priest was given oversight over all the priests, and once a year he went into the Holy of Holies. I would have loved to just witness that one Old Testament scene that I would have liked to see, and how that really was on the Day of Atonement. The high priest, I believe they all prayed and they all sought the Lord, and the high priest carefully went into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God, right into the presence of God. And He took blood. It wasn't without blood. He took blood and went into the Holy of Holies. And I believe everyone stood outside with amazement and concern, possibly, whether he will come out alive or not. And so you can picture this event was something that should have shook all the Jewish people to believe. The veil was torn from the top to the bottom. There was earthquakes. And now everyone has access into the very presence of God. So when we talk about the Holy of Holies, when we talk about staying near to the cross, and we also think about the throne of grace where Jesus is now seated on the throne of grace, we come by faith and we believe in the cross of Christ. We believe that Jesus ascended into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of the Father, exalted. We believe that we now have access into the very presence of God. And that's where few people go and know and experience that relationship in the Holy of Holies. I want all the world to know what it means to be in Christ Jesus, and I want all the world to know the reason why we don't ordain priests anymore, because Jesus is pictured here in Hebrews chapter 4 as the great high priest. We have now a great high priest over the house of God. He is the one who oversees the church. He is the one we come to. He is the one who invites us to come into his very presence. And he really cares about us. And he really cares about what is going on in our lives. So I really want everyone, including myself, to experience that relationship where you can experience life in the Holy of Holies, in the very presence of God. There's no need anymore for a Jewish temple. We are the temple of God. Our bodies are the temple of God. So Jesus has two thrones. One is in heaven, and the other is in humble hearts who are willing to surrender everything to Jesus Christ. He comes and he dwells within the contrite and soft heart. And that's where Jesus dwells. One throne is in heaven, the throne of grace where we're invited to come. And the second one is in the hearts of all those who are contrite and come to him in simple faith. So Jesus became the great high priest. Jesus fulfilled the law, which was pointing forward to Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfilled the role of a priest. Jesus fulfilled the sacrificial system, the animal sacrifice. There's no need for us today to offer sacrifices as a sacrifice for sins. And I'm burdened by the Jewish nation who's yet in blindness. And they're longing for a temple. And I personally believe that if the Jewish people followed the Lord under the Old Testament and were obedient to the law, they would have never been driven from the land, and they would have never seen the destruction of the temple. And we could have seen an Old Testament fulfilled with a temple still standing and Jesus Christ becoming Savior and Lord, and the Jewish people being the ones going out into all the world, from Jerusalem first and then into Judea and all the world. The Jewish people could have been. And that temple could be there today without animal sacrifice. And that temple could be there today just as a meeting house where we remember the Old Testament law. And we remember, we get together, we could all go to Jerusalem if they were faithful. And I believe that was the heart of God. That would be the story, but it was not fulfilled that way. And the Gentiles were the ones who took the gospel to the world. And still, as I see the Jewish people, we had the privilege of being in Jerusalem by the Western Wall and seeing the Jewish people in blindness, longing for a temple and longing for animal sacrifice and longing for this because they have not yet opened up their minds to the great high priest. I see religions today who have priests who serve a lot like the Old Testaments. You look at the role of priest, and we believe this morning that Jesus fulfilled it all, and that we are now all priests of God, and we all have access into the Holy of Holies. And we want to experience a relationship with the Lord in that way. So Jesus became the mediator for all men. There is one mediator. In 1 Timothy 2, 4-6, it says, "For who will have all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So Jesus opened up the way into the very presence of God. Jesus opened up the way, and it was through death and resurrection that the way is open. And there is a way that we can come to God by faith. There is a way that we can be delivered. There is a way to get rid of the squirrels in our minds. There's a way to get rid of all this drama in our minds. There's a way to break the chains of sin, and all of these things can be taken care of because we have a great high priest. So I want to encourage you when you pray. I don't know how you open your prayers. Do you pray to your Father, Heavenly Father, like Jesus said? Our Father, which is art in heaven. And I don't know that it's real important, but I want you to think about addressing God the Father and Jesus, our great high priest. We recognize the Father. We come to the Father through Jesus Christ. And I don't think it's very important if we address Jesus or address the Father. And I'm not trying to make a case about that. But what I'm trying to encourage you to do and to think about is to address the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and give them titles. God the Father, He is the Father. Jesus is the great high priest and a wonderful Savior. Address Him as the great high priest. He's over the house of God. Jesus, our great high priest. Include that in your prayers. And then the Holy Spirit, the great comforter and guide. And we need all in our life. The Holy Spirit is active and working. Jesus provides redemption, and all are interceding. Jesus is interceding for us, and the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. So Jesus is passed into the heavens. Jesus is a merciful high priest. And I want this to grip you as you think about what is said. It says, "We do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." We do not have a high priest like this, but we have a high priest that cares and can be touched, is really what it's saying. We have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities and your pain and your difficulty. I want you all to know that Jesus cares, and He lived through and felt every level of pain that we ever went through. And He can come right alongside as a merciful high priest seated in the heavens and living in your heart, and He is going through life with you. And He really deeply cares about our infirmities and our difficulties. He's a merciful high priest. In Hebrews 2, it says this of Him: "He took on the nature of flesh and blood. He came and dwelt with us." So He understands humanity. He understands everything about us. That's the reason He came, to live with us, to live and walk among us. He took on the nature of flesh and blood, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So He is a faithful high priest and a merciful high priest. And it says that He runs, I don't have the verse here, but He runs to help us, runs to aid and help us when we're struggling. I think that's in Hebrews chapter 2. So Jesus can empathize Many times we can sympathize, and when people share difficult experiences with me that I cannot relate to, I can sympathize and I can show love and care and concern and help. But Jesus can come alongside of every one of us, no matter what you're going through, the hardest times in our lives, and Jesus can come right alongside and say, I know the feeling. If you ever felt rejection, Jesus can come right alongside and say in true honesty, I felt it. I felt it. If you ever are struggling physically with sickness or whatever it is, Jesus can come right alongside and say, I know and understand. I've been there. So he can empathize, and so he's a merciful and gracious. He's not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are yet without sin. So he went through it all, temptation, infirmities. The word infirmities, I did a study on the word infirmities, and it means feebleness, weakness, sickness. And I think it can apply to spiritual infirmities as well. Mary Magdalene, we remember Mary Magdalene, who was delivered of evil spirits and infirmities. It says she was delivered from evil spirits. They were cast out, and she was delivered from infirmities. So whatever they were, I don't know. But she was delivered, and Jesus cares about our infirmities. That's what it says here. In Luke 13, 11 and 12, it says a woman had a spirit of infirmity, and Jesus loosed her from her infirmity for 13 years. She was bowed together and could not lift herself up. Jesus laid his hands on her, and she was loosed of her infirmity. There you see a fixed sickness for 13 years. 1 Timothy 5:23, in ministries, Paul told Timothy to drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. Whatever they were, that was relating to ministries, infirmities in ministry. And then one last one, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed that the Lord would remove that thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. There's people that have ideas. I don't have an idea. I'm not sure. I guess I should say I do have an idea. I think it was some type of sickness, but I'm not sure what the infirmity was or the thorn in the flesh. But he prayed, and he asked the Lord to deliver him from this three times, and the answer came back, that my grace is sufficient for thee. I will give you grace, and I will give you more grace, and I will give you everything you need, but I'm not going to take this away. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul said this, therefore I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I stand back and read that and say, wow. He got to the place where he said he understood that God's strength and power is made perfect in weakness. And when you go through an infirmity, when you go through a trial, when you go through pain and you're left and you feel like you have no strength within you, that's when the power of God begins to flow even stronger. And Paul said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities because this is what's going to happen. He understood it. A place where few people go. Let's be honest. This is hard to understand through the toughest of times. This is hard to understand. I've never had an infirmity for 13 years that I couldn't straighten out or something like that. And then one last picture of infirmities. In Romans 8:26, we have the whole creation groaning and travailing in pain, waiting and crying out for redemption to be delivered from pain, the creation, because of sin and the curse. And it says there that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Not only the creation, but we also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption of the body. The picture there is believers. We have the Holy Spirit, but we're groaning and we're longing. How long till we're delivered out of this? There's a time, and sometimes we feel that way. If we're honest, yes, Lord, how long till full redemption comes, until the whole earth and the whole creation is groaning and longing for this to come? And in that context, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I love that passage. The whole creation is groaning, saying, how long? The earth is crying out. How long till the earthquakes are taken care of? How long till disease is taken care of? How long till full redemption comes and the whole heaven and earth is made new? The whole earth is crying out for it. And then we as believers who are struggling with different kind of infirmities and different kind of struggles, we're crying inside, how long? Lord, help us. And the Spirit himself living within us, knowing the mind and will of the Father, knowing exactly what the Father thinks, and he is interceding for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Does God really care about us? Yes, he does. He really cares about us. And let's not develop the mindset that life is a bed of roses. Let's remember, we have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. We're strangers and pilgrims here. We're looking for that city that is to come. And while we're here, and while we have different types of struggles and infirmities and whatever it is you're going through in life, Jesus invites us here to come boldly. In verse 16, I love this invitation. The place where few people go is described in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly. Not with fear. It might be a fearful thing to come right into the very presence of God, but Jesus is saying, I want you to come right in. I want you to come into the very center of the Holy of Holies. You have access now by faith into the very presence of God, and I want you to come boldly and come right in. My mind goes to when I was dating Connie and getting to know the family and her dad, who's no longer living. He was one of the most generous and friendly people. And boy, he would just make me feel like I belonged there. And I just loved it. And I almost got to the place where I could just open up the refrigerator and help myself. And I just felt like I was part of the family. And that's what Jesus is saying. I want you as God's people to just come in. You have access and you have right. I want you to experience life here. He also said in Matthew, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's ready to help. He's ready to deliver. There's no sin that is too big. He understands what we're going through. Satan is a counterfeiter and offers many other places for people to go for answers. That's why you have the witch's shop in town. People are going for answers and people are looking for help at the wrong place, and there's no help there. And how I would love to stand, and I know it's, I haven't been felt that it's the right thing to do, but as people are going in, they're standing there and just pointing people here. Place where few people go. You can find help. You can find a relationship with the Lord. This is all idolatry, and this is all a counterfeit. This is why we do not trust in objects. We do not go to fortune tellers and talking boards and occult for the answers, because that is a counterfeit way. And it doesn't bring peace. It doesn't take care of the squirrels that many people struggle with in their mind. And all the bondage is all taken care of when we surrender to the Lord and surrender and come to faith and we come. So the first visit to the throne of grace is with all of your sin. It's where salvation happens and you feel the need to begin a relationship with the Lord. You come with all of your sin. That's the first visit. And then as Christians, we live our life. That's where we are to do the best we can to take everything there. Not to trust in our own understanding, not to handle life ourselves, but to allow God to speak into our lives. So Jesus will not take away all hardships, but he helps perfect you through trials and testings and infirmities and whatever we go through in life. He's there to perfect us. So this is a place where few people go, and I want you to reflect on your own walk with the Lord and your own experience in life. When you're going through difficulty in life, where do you go? The great invitation is, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the provisions that are made for us at Calvary. Thank you for the great scripture where you are pictured as the great high priest passing into the heavens and over the church. You're not an unmerciful high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities, but you really care. And you run to the aid for all who are struggling. And I pray this morning, if there's anyone struggling and feeling a touch, feeling a need to draw closer, I pray that you would just draw us all closer to you and that we could experience this place, this relationship where few people know about, and be those that can really experience life in Christ and power that flows through a relationship with Jesus. Lord, bless us as a church. Pray that you would bless our families. Those that are struggling, I just pray that you would come alongside and that we all could feel your love and your mercy and your care in our lives and our families. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.